We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to Inside Mizzou Athletics, presented by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. Now, here is your host, Mike Kelly.
Well, this week on our Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast, brought to you by Shelter Insurance, it is homecoming week at Mizzou, the 106th edition of homecoming. You where it all started, the University of Missouri. No one on this Missouri football staff has seen more homecomings at Mizzou than the Tigers wide receiver coach, of course, the former Tiger himself, the Trenton native, Andy Hill. How you doing, my man?
Doing great. How you doing, Mike?
Well, I'm doing good. There's a special relationship that you've had for a long, long time with this institution and obviously with the athletic program and football. How many years now on the staff?
Started back to Mizzou in 1996, 22nd season here, and trying to catch Clay Cooper, John Cadillac, and those old guys.
Yeah, those are a few names that don't get mentioned all too often these days, but it's great to hear the names of Clay Cooper and in particular our former partner, John Cadillac. For a kid that grew up in Trenton, Missouri, getting the opportunity to go to Mizzou and play meant what to Andy Hill?
Well, it's very special. Bill Wilkerson, used to listen to him when I was growing up. My first Mizzou football game, as I recalled, is 1975 against Oklahoma. All those games when I was back in high school, came down and watched Mizzou play. Billy Sims ran for 296 yards, came down and watched Mizzou play Ole Miss back in the late 70s. And so when I was trying to decide where to go to school, I knew that, it was neat to be recruited by some slower-level guys like Northwest Missouri State, Missouri Western, William Jewell. My grandmother was still upset I didn't go to William Jewell, I'm sure. But the fact is that I felt like dreaming that I wanted to go to Mizzou and could see myself just running out on the field with the guys and trying to be on the team just to see if I could do it. So when I know when I'm 55 like I am now, I could look at myself in the mirror and say, yes, I could, or no, I could not, I would have an answer to that question. And so coming to Mizzou and being able to walk on in 1980 was very special to me. First game, ran out on the field. It's not quite that exciting anymore, but it's certainly exciting back when I was 18-year-old and got to play as a true freshman. It was real exciting then. And then obviously being hired back here in 1996 and being on the full-time staff since that time is very special. I mean, my father went to Mizzou. My wife, her parents both went to Mizzou. Our grandparents went to Mizzou. And so it's Mizzou, the institution itself, is very special to us and has always been special to us. And I'm very fortunate to be in this spot for such quite a long time.
Being a guy that grew up in North Central Missouri and playing against smaller competition, when you arrived on campus in 1980, what was the biggest obstacle for Andy Hill?
Well, you really didn't know what you're getting yourself into. I think that that year was probably as talented a Mizzou football team as there has been that I've seen. James Wilder, Phil Bradley, Eric Wright. I mean, Bill Whitaker. There's a bunch of guys that were Howard Richards. Those guys were there on the football team. A lot of them were seniors. And so I showed up really starry-eyed, wide-eyed, and I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I just know that Clay Cooper told Brad Perry, who was my high school quarterback, who had a scholarship here to Mizzou, he told us both, you guys will play here. And we looked at each other like, you are crazy. We just want to get out there and wear black and gold. And so it was really neat to get on the field, certainly as a true freshman. But I think just to be able to see the very talented guys that we had that were old, upperclassmen, older guys that coming down here, it was certainly a shock to see the size and speed as I showed up.
Most memorable game for you as a player was?
I'd have to say beating Illinois in 1983. They went on to the Rose Bowl that year. I'd redshirted actually. I played 2 years in 1980 and 81, redshirted in 82. We had four guys, myself, Craig White, Kirtland Thomas, and George Shorthose, all wide receivers, all the same age, and we kind of had a coin flip. And so Shorthose and I got redshirted, and Craig and Kirtland Thomas played on. So my first game back after being redshirted was 1983 against Illinois in the opening game, and had, I think, around 100 yards receiving, had a touchdown catch, and it was kind of a good jump start to that year.
Yeah, certainly was. And you had a memorable performance against a team called Oklahoma, ironically the first team you ever watched at Mizzou, and you made an impact when you had an opportunity to.
Yeah, I feel like I have a kindred relationship with Oklahoma because I got to see them play when I was in high school, but also scored a touchdown. I think we beat them 10-0 that same year in 1983. The walk-ons, myself, Marlon Adler, who threw the touchdown pass to me, Brad Burdett was a kicker. We beat him 10-0. All walk-ons scored the points. So it was a pretty special year. I got good friends from my class. Still keeping great contact with a lot of my former Mizzou teammates, and it's obviously very special because I'm here, and when the former players come back that are my age and even older, myself, Howard Richards, we're kind of the home plate, but then they come back and touch base. We're the guys they come see.
Andy Hill is with us on this week's edition of the Inside Mizzou Athletics Podcast, brought to you by Shelter Insurance. We'll have more with Coach Hill after this from Shelter Insurance. When you got out of college at Mizzou, coaching wasn't necessarily the first thing that you were going to do. Walk me through your career path.
Well, my dad accused me of working in jobs up until hunting season started in November every year as I came. I started and tried out with the Chiefs in 1985, got cut in the last cut, tried out with the Calgary Stampeders in 1986, and got cut in the last cut, and then decided, you know, this football thing was a good shot, and now I better get a real job. So I pretty much worked in banks and investments from around 1987 to about 92. And I was getting married. My wife thought, boy, he's got a good job with Edward Jones in Brookfield, Missouri, and he can kind of ride out the storm up there in Brookfield. And I pulled the bait and switch on her. I was having fun with my buddy John Sundvold. He was playing the NBA. We were playing a lot of golf, doing a lot of traveling. And then I decided, you know, I think I'll get into coaching. So in 1992, I got married in July, and then also the very next week started my coaching career in Hutch Community College out in Kansas. And we were out there for 4 years, held my breath out in Kansas for 4 years. But it was really, a very, very winding road all the way through my pre-coaching career.
Worked at Learfield Communications for a stretch, too. And rumor has it that there were times on a Monday morning that Coach Hill might have arrived just in time from being fishing and hunting, perhaps.
I did have camouflage on a time or two with the Learfield folks, and that was some good memories back in Jeff City for sure.
Yeah. You talked about your relationship with John. Obviously, that started during your playing days when you were both student athletes. One thing about him, and we both know what a sincere guy he is, what a great Missourian he is, and what a terrific job he does on TV and also with his company as well. But when he was playing in the NBA, he had the opportunity to play in Tahoe in the celebrity deal out there, and you went out and caddied for him, didn't you? Now, the story has it that at one point in time, he didn't know where you were during the course of the round because you were over retrieving an autograph from Joe Namath.
Well, that is very true. He got to play in the Celebrity Classic, I believe, in 1991 and 92. And I was very fortunate John asked me to caddy for him. So, yes, he was paired with Joe Namath during the playing rounds. You had three rounds of Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And one of those three rounds that first year we were there got paired just John Sunvold and Joe Namath. And so around the fifth hole, there was a par five, and John hit his shot off to the right. And Joe Namath, I said, you know, I finally got the courage up to say, hey, Joe, I was always a Kansas City Chiefs fan, but I was a Joe Namath fan. We had Joe Namath, you know, pajamas and Joe Namath hat when I was growing up with my younger brother Richard. And Joe Namath, I said, he started talking about playing the Chiefs, how good they were, you know, and talking about how he had to keep the ball away from Lenny Dawson and Jan Stenerud. So he started, and I'm walking down the fairway, he's telling me the stories about playing the Chiefs. You know, I threw a slant pass to Don Maynard, and I overthrew him. I gave the ball to Matt Snell. He was going on and on. And so he finished his story, and I went over to John and to his ball, and he said, well, how far out do you think we are, and what do you think I should hit? I said, I have no clue what we're going to do right here. I've been talking football with Joe Namath. And so, yeah, we had some great times and still have great times today with John Sunvold.
How did the relationship start?
Well, the crazy thing was my high school in Trenton, his brother played basketball for Penn Valley, and so they used to come up to Trenton a little bit. My cousins, Steve and Sid Hill, who's also John's age, they went to high school together in Blue Springs. And so I would come and visit them in Kansas City as Blue Springs is just becoming – I think Blue Springs in the 70s was actually becoming the most populous city in the whole United States. And so they were becoming – growing and all that. So John was an athlete. My cousins were athletes. So I became friends with them in high school. Then I came to Mizzou. Bob Sunvold was coaching. And so we just had a connection way back, you know, late 70s, and certainly when we were playing here. And we did a lot of golfing and hanging around when we were in college too.
Over the last 22 years, the sport of football, while the X's and O's part probably hasn't changed that much, certainly the sport has changed. The pressure has built. The ability to support your family has certainly increased, too, from a salary standpoint. Recruiting's changed quite a bit over the last 22 years. Can you just kind of tell me a little bit about how it's changed for you from that standpoint?
Yeah, I think it's really changed probably in the last 5 years or so, because you're looking at social media kind of taking over. And the guys in high school are trying to establish themselves as a property, you know, if you will, that the high school kids, they're on the internet, they're on Twitter a lot. Probably Twitter is the most used vehicle, I would say, that they're putting themselves out there. A lot of the fans comment on. So the sometimes the high school players associate a fan like or a fan base really liking them as being heavily recruited, when in fact, you know, they may have more fans at USC than we have at Missouri or whatever. But the social media aspect has really changed the landscape of recruiting as I see it. You know, we couldn't used to text for the last 10 years or so. In the last couple of years, we can now text guys. The contact is certainly more hands-on all the time. So, you know, it used to be you had some time off in the summertime and you could go to Montana and go fly fishing or spend some more time with the family a little bit. But now it's a constant back and forth. And with recruiting departments going on, kind of mirroring NFL scouting departments, you know, all the colleges at our level are, you know, have a recruiting director, assistant director, six or eight people, with a graphic designer, six or eight people being GAs. And you know, you have draft boards in a sense. And so we have tried to mirror what the NFL is doing. So it's changed in a lot of ways, and it's certainly been a lot more hands-on year-round.
Over the last 22 years, you think about your ability to stay as an assistant coach at a Power 5 conference, and obviously it's remarkable. Not a lot of people get that opportunity. You're working now for your third coach, but I don't necessarily want to talk about Barry Odom here. I want to talk about the first guy you work for at Missouri, because I believe in my heart Larry Smith doesn't get nearly the credit that he deserves for giving Missouri fans hope that big-time football could be realized once again here.
Yeah, you look at the years between the year I talked about, 1983, and then when Larry took over, I joined back in 1996, and so we were kind of getting the corner turned. And I view it a lot like it is today, where you have some tough times, a couple bad years, couple, you know, maybe even bad games. But then you can see things coming. And I know going to that first bowl game, it meant so much. In 1997, we played out in Colorado to get that sixth win, which means you were going to a bowl game. And then having those talented group of guys, 97 and 98, my friend John Hoke, who was here, left here, went to Florida, he called back and said, hey, listen, you guys don't know how talented you really are and how close we are to greatness. And I think that at some point you have to just keep going because you are on that back straight and that turnaround, that curve is coming. And so I think Larry Smith and able to get that over the hump. I know Coach Pinkel talked about when he got here, had Missouri not gone to those bowl games in 97 and 98, it doesn't give that next coach hope to say, hey, this can be done at Mizzou. It's always known as a sleeping giant. I know it as giant killers because I know when I was watching Mizzou football, we were beating the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the USCs, and that's what we want to be and that's what we need to get back to.
Give me a line about Gary Pinkel. You worked for him for a long time during his tenure at Missouri. What was that like?
It was real consistent. I mean, every single day, we on Mondays we were doing this, Tuesdays we were doing this, and in June we were doing this, in July we were doing that. And so that was the best part about Coach Pinkel was not only his ability to coach and get guys and coach the coaches, but also this is exactly what you can expect. This is the details of what the program's going to be about. This is our bottom line. And I think that, you know, everybody could attach to that, so you knew you're kind of pulling the same direction. I think that was a thing. I know Bob Stanley, who was a longtime equipment guy here, said, you know, it takes an unreasonable guy to do an unreasonable job. And I think to get things turned, it really takes a lot of hard work, and everybody's got to kick in. And when Coach Pinkel got here initially in 2001, his first season, you know, there was not a lot of positives going on. And it took a couple of years to get that turn. So I feel like that Coach was real consistent throughout that time. And he was, you know, over time, he became more and more of a player's coach. And I think that showed up in his number of wins here.
I think the other thing, too, that helped him was his ability to not accept the answer of no from those above him. Because he had the vision and he knew what it took to turn things, and he wasn't going to allow them to block that path.
Absolutely, and that's the same thing. He had his mantra was, I have a plan for everything, we have a plan for everything. And so from A to Z, whether it becomes about recruiting or academics or football, that this is the plan, we're sticking to it, and this we'll sink or swim with this plan, and obviously we did a lot of swimming.
Finally, working for Barry, just what's that been like?
It's been awesome. I mean, my first year back here coaching was his freshman year, so I've known him for 22 years as we go back, and he and I have been great friends as we've gone throughout this. You know, he was at Rockbridge High School. I helped him get here to Mizzou as a GA, and he's worked his way through. Obviously, he's got a great career path. He took the chance and left and went to Memphis. Whenever I've sat here and said, you know, there's opportunities here and there, but we always felt like Columbia, Missouri was a place to raise our kids and to have my daughter go to one school system, her entire high school, all the way from middle school all the way through, was very special. And so Barry took a chance and it worked out for him, and I'm so proud and proud of him, but also very happy to work alongside him because I think we can make things happen still here at Mizzou.
No one embodies the phrase true tiger like Andy Hill. It's been a pleasure being around you, buddy, and thanks for taking time today.
Thank you, Mike, and let's go get him.
Does this sound like you?
Or is this more like it?
Or maybe your inner biker sounds like...
No matter what motorcycle motor is music to your ears, Shelter Insurance has a policy that's music to your wallet.
Shelter insures your fun stuff. Motorcycles to riding mowers, ATVs to RVs, bikes to bass boats. If it rides, rolls, or floats, we can cover it. Shelter Insurance. We're your shield. We're your shelter.
This has been Inside Mizzou Athletics with Mike Kelly. Brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.